Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
The resurrection, return of the governor to the colony. Sit up with me. Return of the governor to the colony. We're going to address this most important subject of understanding the goal of the resurrection. What was the purpose for the resurrection? God does nothing without a reason. So listen carefully, young people. You're going to learn today one of the most important foundational truths, which we call doctrines of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of what I'm going to talk about you will find in some of the material we have available. But let me begin with a few statements. I call it the divine goal of God. God's goal originally, from the beginning, was to extend his invisible heavenly kingdom to the visible earth. That is the foundation of the Bible. It's important to remember that the vision of God, he had a goal and he had a vision. His vision was to establish a colony of heaven on earth. And those of you who were born in the Bahamas and you lived through the 60s and the 50s and even a portion of the 70s, you would know that the Bahamas was not a nation up until 1973. The Bahamas was a colony. So when I was born in 1954 here in this island, I was not born into a country. I was born in what they call in kingdoms a colony. And we were under the colonial authority of the Kingdom of Great Britain. All kingdoms establish colonies. A colony is important. We defined it last Friday. A colony is a community of immigrants living in a foreign territory who've been placed there to represent and to be a prototype of a kingdom from another place. And the people in the colony, even though they live in the colony, they are under the laws of the home country. This is why the goal of God was to manifest the nature and the culture and the glory of the heavenly kingdom on earth through a heavenly community called humanity. Humans came from God. They were placed on earth. God's first act was to take us out of heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, you were chosen in him. Where? I can't hear you. He said, you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. That means you existed before you manifested on earth. You used to be inside of God. And the Bible says, he chose you out of him and placed you on the planet to be a colony of heaven so he could extend his kingdom influence from the unseen world to the seen world. This is the idea of God. So God is the first in time and eternity to introduce a kingdom. So God's plan was to make earth a colony of heaven. Now, how does this affect the death and the resurrection of Jesus? Let me put it this way. The kings of kingdoms always extend their colonies, but they never rule them directly. That's important. Kingdoms always rule their colonies through a system that is called governors. A governor is a person that lives in the courts of the king. He removes that person from the inner courts and sends them out to live in the colony. In the Bahamas, there was a white man from England who was sent here, and they came for over 200 years. We never ruled this country. It was always officially under the authority of this man that was sent from the courts of England to live in the Bahamas up until 1973. And he represented the kings of England and the queens of England, and he was the ultimate authority. Because colonies rule their territories through governors. When God created earth as the colony and placed humanity as the community, he sent a governor. Now, kings administrate their kingdoms in the colony through the governors, and the role of the governor is important. Let me just ask you to write this down. The role of the governor is to what? Establish the kingdom of the king in the territory. So what the goal of the governor is to bring whatever's happening in the home country to the colony. That's why the Bahamas, if you study it carefully, we are just like Great Britain. We drive on the left. When you go to England, you drive on the left. We have roundabouts. We never had traffic lights for years. When you go to England, they got roundabouts at every intersection. When you go to England, the roads are very narrow. You come to the Bahamas, the roads are narrow. That's English. In England, they drink tea 3 times a day, sometimes 4. In the Bahamas, the first thing a Bahamian wants is Lipton in the morning. Why? We've been cultured. In England, they speak English. So in the Bahamas, we automatically had to learn the kingdom's language. We speak English. In other words, the purpose for the governor is to convert the territory to look just like the kingdom. Very important. And therefore, the key to kingdom influence is who? Governor. Say it again. The key to kingdom influence is who? The governor. So the most important person on earth would be the Holy Spirit. Thus the name of my latest book. The book is really about colonization. It's about God's plan to make earth just like heaven, but you needed the governor to be in there. Now, by the way, the governor of our former kingdom didn't visit the Bahamas. He lived here. And he lived in a house that was built by Great Britain. That pink house up the road. By the way, I was thinking, if he lived in our clapboard houses, what do you all think? If we did build a house for him, it would be in a clapboard house. When a kingdom sends a governor to a colony, the kingdom itself builds the house. It doesn't allow the people to build their own houses for the governor. Because the people's house will never be good enough for the governor. Clapboard house on 4 rocks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I grew up around that stuff. The governor lived in a house that we all admired. We wanted to be there. They didn't allow us to see it. They put a big wall around it. And the house had everything in it. As a matter of fact, here's what's important to remember. The house represented the kingdom. So it had to look like the kingdom. When you walked into the governor's mansion up there on Fitzgerald Hill, you'd think you walk into England because the door had a golden handle. All the tables and chairs were mahogany. There was gold-plated stuff on the wall. Matter of fact, when you walked in there, you knew he wasn't in Baintown. I'm talking for a reason now. See, when the governors was sent to live in a territory. The government built the house. So the house was in the image of the king. Write this down. What was the goal of colonization? A kingdom's goal is to transform and make the colony just like the kingdom. Therefore, to extend the home country to another territory. The goal of colonization is to establish a prototype of the original country in another territory. In other words, to manifest the culture and the original nation kingdom in that territory. Therefore, the ultimate purpose for colonization is to make the colony exactly like the kingdom. Disciples asked Jesus, what should they pray for? Prayer means petition. What should they petition the government of heaven for? He says, pray like this. Our government who is in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done where? On earth how? Just like it is in heaven. In other words, it was a colonization prayer. Now the only way for that to be answered is there had to be a governor sent to earth. He knew we couldn't make earth like heaven. We needed someone from the outside headquarters to come and live in the colony to make just like heaven. Oh, watch this. So the three keys, please write this down if you can write fast. The three most important keys in a kingdom is number one, the governor's presence in the colony is evidence that the kingdom itself was in the colony. As long as the governor is present in a colony, the kingdom is present. Number two, the governor lives in a residence only built by the home government of the king. In other words, when a kingdom sends a governor to a territory, it builds the house itself. And number three, very important key, the governor had to leave the territory if the colony ever declared independence. Selah. The fastest way to get rid of a governor is for the colony to declare independence. The Bahamas experienced that in 1973 in one night. In one night, July 10th, 1973, we gathered at the park, and when the sun rose, the governor was illegal. He had to go back to England. Why? Because we declared independence, and the governor who lived with us for over 250 years had to leave. Why? When you declare independence, when you want to do your own thing, have your own determination of your own future, the governor has to leave, and so you lose the kingdom. This is why Jesus Christ did not come to earth until 4,000 years after Adam sinned. Because there was no colony system on earth until the Romans arrived. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a little city in a colony. The Middle East, we call it Palestine at that time, it was a colony of Rome. Rome was in Italy, but they controlled the whole world. And Jesus Christ was born under a colonial power, controlled by a king called Caesar, and he came in the right time. Every word he used, therefore, made sense. The governor that ruled the colony that Jesus Christ was born in, sent from Rome, his name was Pilate. Pilate was a governor. His job was to make sure that whole area acted like Rome, spoke like Rome, ate like Rome, thanked like Rome, talked like Rome, paid Rome taxes. He made the whole area Rome. Therefore, you hear the statement, when in Rome. Jesus, therefore, was a problem. Because Jesus was born in a colony of another king. I told you on Friday that a priest never threatens a king. So Christ didn't come as a priest. A prophet never threatens a king. So he didn't come as a prophet. If you make Jesus Christ a prophet and a priest, you reduce him to the category of Muhammad and Buddha. Muhammad never claimed to be a king. Buddha never claimed to be a king, but they did claim to be prophets. Stop putting Christ in their category. This is why Christianity is so weak. Because Christianity has reduced Jesus Christ to a religious man, and therefore he competes with Buddha. His competition is Muhammad, and that's why there's conflicts between religions. But Christ is not religious. He is a king. You remember I read to you on Friday that when he was born, they said, a king is born in Bethlehem. Who got nervous? Herod got nervous. Why? Herod was a local king. And Herod says, what? If a king is born, I'm in trouble. Now remember the Sanhedrin Council, the Pharisees and all these guys, they were prophets and priests. Herod was never afraid of these guys. But when he heard there was a king born, he says, tell me where he lives. I got a plan. I won't worship him with a knife. I want you to follow me carefully. When the trial of Jesus took place last Thursday, just this week, and it did take place on that Thursday, we got the time exactly right. Because the Passover took place on Friday. So Thursday night, they put him on trial. This same Thursday, 2,000 years ago. And the trial started in the wrong courtroom. They first took him to a religious courtroom. That's why he never said a word. And the man who was judging him was illegal. He was a priest. Then they decided to take him to Pilate. Then he started talking. Why? Now it's kingdom to kingdom. Praise God. Now, the fall of man was the Declaration of Independence from the country of heaven. Anybody got that? Remember, whenever a colony declares independence, the governor is illegal. When Adam told God, I don't need you no more, I'm going to determine my own future, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to disobey your law, it was the Declaration of Independence. That leads to number two. Independence demands the recall of the governor. The Holy Spirit had to get out of here. He became illegal. Number three is important to write down. Therefore, the fall of man was the loss of essential life on earth. We lost contact with the governor. Therefore, we can no longer represent the kingdom of heaven again. I put it to you then that the loss of the governor was the loss of the presence of the king and the kingdom. This is very important. Man never lost a religion. So joining a religion will never satisfy you. If you're thirsty and you eat bread, you're still thirsty. No matter how good the bread is, no matter how much raisin they put in it, nuts, cranberry, coconuts, you thirsty. If you give yourself what you don't need, you are still thirsty. No matter how sophisticated your religion is, if it's a religion, you'll never be satisfied. You'll be busy, but never satisfied. That's why Jesus Christ could not bring a religion to earth. That is not what man lost. Write this down, please. The death that Jesus talks about in Genesis chapter 2. The day you disobey me, God says, you will surely die. That death means detachment from the source or the country of heaven. When we declared independence from Great Britain, we had to exchange constitutions. We gave them back theirs, and we created our own. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? Death. In Isaiah, prophesying for the Messiah, it says, we are all like sheep, gone what? Astray, each man to his own way. That's what independence is. We can't call England and ask it to give us money to build roads no more. We can't say, England, please help. We need some fresh water. We need some new badges to bring water from Africa. England, say, you on your own. You declare independence. You got to pay your own bills. Independence means that you determine your own future. And that's what Adam did. Write this down, please. Adam, therefore, became self-determinated. He determined his own future, physical and spiritual. Now, by the way, whenever you throw out a governor, you got to replace it with another governor. The first act of our country when we became independent was we got to appoint a new governor. Who was the first governor of the Bahamas? From the Bahamas? Sir Milo Butler. Where was he born? Right down here. What part of the country? Bayntown. All right. Now think about this now. We threw the Holy Ghost out and appointed Lucifer. Is anybody here with me? Lucifer is an unemployed cherub. He was fired for insubordination. No wonder why we hate authority. When you rule, when you are ruled by someone who is unruly, y'all talk to me, man. Then the first thing you do is kill your brother. Come on, Ken. Jesus talked about Lucifer one time. He says, you are like your father, the devil. And then he defined him. He says he was a murderer from the beginning. No wonder why our murder rate is rising. The devil is still harassing the Bahamas. But God lives in the Bahamas. We're going to kick him out. Come on, go with me in the name of Jesus. You cannot fight the spirit of murder with policemen. There's a spirit that governs the heart of man that destroys man. And everything he touches, he destroys. He comes to kill your children, steal your marriage, and destroy your finances. Oh, but the king came back to the colony and says, I have come that they might have life. Come on, give him a praise. And they have life what? More abundantly. They have too much life. Very important. Now, what did man lose? Very important question. Number one, man lost the Garden of Eden, which is the presence of God. Number two, man lost the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the governor. Number three, man lost the kingdom of heaven on earth, the influence of God. And number four, when man disobeyed God, he lost his ability to dominate and control its environment. And number five, when man disobeyed God, man lost his identity. You can only know who you are if you know where you came from.
That's right. Yeah.
And this is why we like dress like other people. Wear other people's names like Calvin Klein and Giorgio and, you know, Nike. We got to wear people because we don't know who we are. We got to imitate people, cut our hair like them, because we are suffering from identity crisis. The first thing God gave Adam was his image. We lost our image. Cut off relationship. So now we are imagining other people. Imaging other people. So they call it the Michael Jordan image. And we buy their suits to put on their image. We wear other people because we don't know who we are. Why do you think our young men would kill their own brothers for a pair of Nike shoes? Because Nike gives them identity. It's not a stealing problem. It's an identity problem that results in stealing. Of course, none of y'all are like those young people now. Y'all are sophisticated believers. Then why are you trying to get a car you can't afford? Because you got an image problem. My wife and I drove a Toyota for must be 7-8 years. We held it together with tape. I telling you, me. I used that silver tape to hold the bumper together, hold the light on, and we drove to work for 6 years in that thing. I had to fix it myself. It was so poor. Why? We were trying to pay for a piece of property. And some of y'all got a BMW and you're still broke. And I'm still renting. I don't understand that. Your priorities are wrong. Don't be jealous of people because you don't know what they paid to get what they got. Am I right, Brother Mike? People look at you, well, who do you think you are? Shut up, man. You don't know what we did to get this. See, I had no image problem. I was Miles Monroe going to the government building in that car, smoking. Tuka. Everybody laughing. I paying for my property. We lost our identity. And we try to find it by sacrificing our own children. I put it to you, friends. The greatest loss we had was two things. Number one, the greatest thing we lost was the kingdom of God. And the greatest person we lost was the Holy Spirit, the governor. Whenever you declare independence, you lose two things. Only two things. You lose the kingdom and you lose the governor. Now, therefore, if God wants to regain his colony, he has to get these two things back. So the coming of Jesus Christ was simple. Stop making it complicated. He didn't come to start a religion with all this ritual stuff. He came to bring the kingdom back. And in order to keep it here, he had to make sure to leave the governor here. That was the purpose for Easter weekend. As a matter of fact, let me show you some stuff here and blow your mind. The ultimate mission of God for Jesus was the restoration of what mankind lost. Mankind lost the kingdom of heaven on earth, and he lost the governor from heaven to earth. I repeat it. Man lost two things. He lost the kingdom of heaven on earth, and he lost the governor from heaven on earth. So he lost two things. Ladies and gentlemen, if I die in the morning, remember these two important points. Is what I tried to tell you about all my life. The only two things that Jesus preached was the kingdom and the Holy Ghost. Study the four gospel. He never preached prosperity. He never preached faith. He never preached healing. He never preached deliverance. He never preached those things. He preached the kingdom. The kingdom. Then he says, the Holy Ghost shall come. Holy Ghost shall come. The kingdom. Holy Ghost shall come. Two messages. Because they are the same message. If the governor is present, the kingdom is back. If the governor is present, the kingdom is back. If the government is present, the kingdom is back. If you ain't got the governor, you ain't got the kingdom. You can be a Christian and not be in the kingdom. Because a Christian is a religious person. You can follow certain rituals and be a Christian. Matter of fact, you can be a pastor in a church and not be in the kingdom. You don't believe me? Run into Nicodemus. Nicodemus was in charge of the synagogue. He was the pastor of the place. And Christ says, you ain't got the spirit. Except the man be born of the spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't care how many robes you wear, incense you burn, candles you light. He says, you ain't got the spirit, the kingdom ain't in you. You know, the Bahamas could actually claim right now, you know, we could declare. We could officially go downtown and declare, we are now back in England. We are now a colony again. You can do that. As long as that man don't come back. You're lying. The governor got to come back. He is proof that you are reconnected. Follow me carefully now. So the purpose for the death of Jesus, write this down please, had to be related to two things. The death of Jesus was to be a substitute for the penalty of man's death. You know, do you remember what the government said? The government said, the day my citizens disobey me, they shall surely die. That came down from the government. So when man disobeyed God, the government had to pass judgment on man to kill him. So Adam, that's you and me, we had to die. Therefore, instead of killing us, the king of the country decided, I love the colony so much, I am going to kill myself in their place. 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 Everybody substitute. In their place. Say substitute. Let me tell you something. The death of Jesus was not the ignoring of your sins. This is very serious. We get the idea that he loves me so much, he will not kill me. That's a lie. He hates sin so much. He was supposed to kill you. But he killed himself. So you didn't get away. Somebody died.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he still hates sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hear people talk funny things like, well, you know, you all are so narrow-minded. You need to be more loving. Make room for those who want to choose alternative lifestyles. After all, God is love. Love everybody. Even those who may be homosexuals and who may be lesbians, you gotta love everybody. God is love. He calls it an abomination. Then he died to stop it. So stop it. Listen to me. And you Bahamians who are sissies in here, let me tell you something. The only reason why you get away, I don't know about you yet. Don't you ever try to bring Jesus down to your level of life. If you want to sin, do it, but don't try to bring him into your business. He hated so much he died to destroy it. And every time you do it, you are killing him again. Very important. He died as your substitute. Forgiveness is not ignorance. Number two, why did he die? The death of Jesus was to destroy the spirit of rebellion, which is the word for sin in Hebrew. He died to destroy the spirit of independence. I like what he said one time in John 15. He says, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. You depend on me for life. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing you can do toward God is not declare independence, but declare dependence. It is dependence that got you going to hell. If you don't want to go to hell, you got to declare dependence again. But, oh God, without you I can do nothing.
Yes.
Write this down, please. The death of Jesus was reconciliation between God and man. He brought us back together. He brought the colony back to the country. The death of Jesus, number four, was to cleanse the residents. Write this one down in big letters, please. To cleanse the residents for the governor of heaven to return. We turned the governor's mansion into a clapboard house. I'm going to say it again. We turn the residence that the government built into a clapboard house. The Bible says your body was formed by the hand of God. Genesis chapter 2 verse 8 says, He formed man. He formed. He formed. You didn't build your body. He built the house. He formed you from what? The dust of the ground. That's His house. You declare independence and got all kind of dirt in it. Evil thoughts, pornography, drugs, alcohol, hatred, bitterness, malice. All of them is in the body. And then you contaminate it with all kind of liquor and sin and all kind of stuff. Now you got AIDS. God said, what kind of house is this I built? So He sent His Son. His blood comes whoosh, to cleanse. Everybody give God praise for a brand new house. He came to cleanse the house. Number five, the death of Jesus was to prepare the world to receive the governor of the kingdom of heaven. He died to prepare the whole world to receive. Everybody say re. Re. Say it loud. Receive. You know, Brother Kendall, Dr. Kendall Majors here this morning. Talk. Your sister used to teach me. Velma Thompson at that time. She's now Velma Curley. She used to teach me. And let me tell you something. She was the best teacher. That's his RDA. Oh, that's your RDA. Okay. Boy, you're young, yeah. Okay. His auntie would teach me. And I'll never forget her. I was up on the school up on the hill. Bluewell Road Hill. Weston Junior High. She used to beat me, boy. Anyhow. She was the best teacher. I love her. Matter of fact, in one of my books, I have her name as one of those who helped me because she was the one who taught me English grammar. That's why my books are so good today. She was a good teacher. She taught me how to speak good English. Sometimes you always hear me go off and bend down language, but she's a good teacher. Boy, you know what I mean, you know? Okay, that's my private language. All right. One thing I'll never forget she taught me. She taught us about prefixes. And she said a prefix is a grammatical stem added to the word to change the meaning of it. Let me repeat it. I never forget it. Now this goes way back 1960s, man. She's such a good teacher. I remember what she said. She said, Miles, I'm going to teach you grammar. She taught me verb, adverb, proverb, all the stuff. But oh, shut up. She did that too. But then she said to me, she said, I want you to never forget prefixes. Because prefixes change the meanings of words. And she said that she says a prefix is a stem. It's not a word. It's a stem in grammar. And you add it to the word to change the meaning. She gave me a list of things, prefixes to remember. Like pro, con, die, and then re. And she gave me this whole list of prefixes to remember. She said, whenever you see these added, here's what they mean. Con means together. Die means to. Re means return to original. I never forgot it. So when you see a prefix die in the front of a word, D-I, it changes the word. For example, vide is a word. V-I-D is a word. V-I-D means one. You put die in the front of it, it is divide. It means what? Two. So whenever you see die, it splits things. Are you still with me? Okay. Con, C-O-N, means one. So pose means to write. To compose means to write things together. Bring them together. Y'all learning this free. Y'all ain't getting this. Y'all ain't paying for this. Okay. When she got to read, my life changed. She said, read means to go back to the beginning or to return to the original position. Re means that. Re. So, pent, for example, means to think. It also means top thinking. That's why they call the house penthouse. Pent is always on where? Top. When you repent, it means you bring your mind back up to the highway you're thinking. Deem, D-E-E-M is a word. Deem means to own something. To redeem means to own it again, twice. You've been okay, you get it. Yeah. He owned you, he lost you, and he owns you again. Okay, got it? Good. Now, turn means to go in a direction. When you put re in front of it, return means you turn around and go back to the original place where you were. Now, here's the big one. Sieve is a word. Re is the stem. And we don't use the word sieve anymore. It's an old English word, 16th, 17th century. The word sieve, write this down, C-E-I-V, it means to have, to possess. When you put the prefix re in the front of sieve again, it means to have something the second time. So, let me show you something to understand the resurrection. The goal of God is what? Restore. Now, by the way, all of God's words begin with re. All of them. Can I prove it? Let's try it. Write it down. Return unto me. Recover that which was lost. Repent. Renew. Reconcile. Reward. Redeem. Recompense. Remember. God keeps taking you backward. Go back to dependence. And the big one we're going to deal with today is receive. The resurrection was about reception of something. John 14, Jesus speaking, verse 16. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to be with you. How long? Forever. He's prophesying before he dies. The spirit of what? Truth. Capital S is always referring to the governor. The world cannot accept him. World means the system of governing. They will accept the governor who was here before. They fight against him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. Everybody say him. Say him, 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 him. Say it loud. Him, 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 him. Say him, 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 him. In my new book, I wrote a whole chapter on him. Because we keep thinking the Holy Ghost is a it. The Holy Spirit is not some wind that comes into a church and make you fall down. He's a person. A governor is a person. And he comes to do business on behalf of a country. When he, him, comes, you will know him. For he lives where? With, very important word, with you. Why? Because he couldn't live in Clapboard House. The only house that he was living in at the time was the mansion that came from heaven. Praise God. The Holy Ghost was in Jesus Christ. Why? No sin in his body. Pure, beautiful mansion. And he was with them. He said, I'm with you. He says, now he shall be in you. But right now he is with you. Why? You clapboard. I mansion. I came to make you mansion. I'm going to clean out, sweep out, dust out, cleanse out, wash out, purify out. When I'm finished with you, I'm going to come back from the dead. Getting ahead of myself here. Let me show you something. The dominion mandate of God demanded the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Read out loud, please. Genesis 2, verse 7. Read. Now, this is important here. This is the sieving of the Holy Spirit. This is the first time man got him. He sieved him. Ready? Go. The Lord formed the man. Come on, read it loud. The Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. And man became. Okay, so God did what? Formed the house himself, then filled it with the governor. How did God fill him with the governor? He what? Breathe. Okay, watch this. Man lost the governor. He became absent. Jude 3 verse 9. Judges 3 verse 9 said what? Now, if you, I wrote these down. There are about 1,000 of them, but I only give you a few of them to show you that the Holy Spirit could no longer live inside man. Look at these verses. Judges 3 verse 10 says what? Read aloud. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Judges 6 verse 34. Read. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Judges 11 verse 29, read. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehoshaphat. Okay, Judges 14, 6, read. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart. That's talking about David. Now, Job 3, read. The Spirit of the Lord has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. When man declared independence, the governor left. And he could no longer live inside the house. So he only came upon the house. The Holy Spirit never entered a human being since Genesis 3. He was waiting for the house to be restored. Are you following me? All right, watch this now. So God now begins to make some promises. I call it the promise of the Spirit, the governor. The major goal of God was the restoration of the governor of the Holy Spirit back into man. Joel 2, verse 28, read. And afterward, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit, capital S, on all people. Who all? All people. How many? All. I just want to pause here. Somehow, Christian people, I used to be one of them, believe that God is exclusive only to them. All of God's offspring lost the Holy Spirit. Every Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, atheist, Confucius, Scientologists, all of them lost the governor. So God is prophesying to Joel. He says, the day is coming, the day of the Lord. That means the arrival of the Messiah. When I will give my Spirit back to who? All people. Your sons and your daughters will what? Prophesy. Your old men will dream again. And your young men will see visions. All, even on my servants, both men and women, shall I pour out of my Spirit in the last days when the Messiah comes. And he came already. Amen. The prophecy was not about, they shall have a religion, and they shall meet every weekend, and they shall worship me and sing songs in the prayer meetings. No, he said, well, the whole thing about bringing the Spirit back. Amen. The coming of Christ only had two purposes, kingdom and governor. Look what we've made it into. I think God gets confused on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Every weekend, God is be depressed. On Fridays, it's the Muslims. Saturdays, Seventh-day Adventists and the Jewish people. Sunday, Christians. Because they all them kapunkle me up. Because all them focus on the wrong thing. They missed my entire plan. So they fight each other for preeminence. To see whose religion is the most powerful. And they're killing each other, competing with their religions. I have nothing to do with this. All right. Let's go home. Read this. The restoration process. Everybody's the restoration process. For the for the government so loved the world that he gave the king. Isn't that beautiful? For the government so loved the colony, the government gave the colony the king. That's number one. Number two, the king so loved the colony, he gave the governor to the colony. Anybody giving something? And number three, the governor so loved the colony, he gave the colony the kingdom. God's plan complete. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. For the son so loved the world, he gave the world the Holy Spirit. The Spirit so loved the world, he gave the world the kingdom of God again. Kingdom lost, kingdom found. Anything more than that is religion. I put it to you then, that the purpose for the resurrection, here's the hometown boy talking now. Number one, Jesus rose again. Please write this down. First, to prove his victory over sin. Remember, the wages of sin is what? Death. What is sin? Independence. Rebellion. He had to prove that sin had no more power. The power of sin is death. Romans chapter 6. The power of sin is death. The power of sin is death, the Bible says. The power of sin is what? Death. Then it says the power of death is sin. The power of death is sin. They produce each other. So if you want to prove that you conquered sin, you only can prove it if you can conquer death. Once you conquer death, it means you took the power of death away. The power of death is sin. So if you get rid of sin, death has no more authority over your body. Resurrection is proof that he overcame sin. Ladies and gentlemen, please. Please. Lord, I can't teach. I'm so weak. Oh, you understand me? Listen. Jesus had no sin, so he couldn't die. The only way for him to die, he had to get sin in his body. But he had none. So he went collecting sin. Because he didn't want you to die, so he took what was about to kill you, put it in his body. It killed him, which means it ain't on you no more. Therefore, death cannot keep you in the grave. You ought to shout hallelujah. Number two, therefore, becomes natural to restore mankind's power of death, to take man into the realm of having power over death. And number four, to destroy man's fear of death. You know me, I have no fear of death, none, zero. When I was growing up in Baintown, when you walk over a grave, you spit on your finger and you keep it in the air until it dry. Come on, you all act like you all do that. Walk around all day, say, what you doing? I walk across the graveyard. Every time I walk past the graveyard, I stop. Why? Afraid of death. When you see funeral and you see dead body, you run the other way. You don't touch dead people. I used to walk fast past the morgue. Walk from the home. Oh, Lord, on the other side of the road. Fear of death. But thanks be unto God. You don't spit on your finger anymore. Everybody, raise your finger to God. Say, Lord, thank you, Lord. No more spit. Praise God. He took away the fear of death. Number three. Number four. He died and rose again to complete the final act of redemption. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. This statement is very important. Please don't be offended by what I'm going to say. But then again, you got to forgive me or you'll go to hell. Okay. Listen. Christianity has made the means more important than the end. We've turned the means into the end, and we've created an entire complicated religion out of the means and missed the end. For example, someone came here today, they said, I came to your place and there was no cross in the building. That ain't a worship place, he told me. Y'all ain't got no cross up. Y'all ain't got no cross. No cross. I said, so what's the problem? Well, you know, y'all are Christians. Y'all are supposed to have cross. And I see Jesus on no cross. And he was upset. People build an entire religion around a means. I gotta be careful how I say this. I am under the Holy Ghost right now. Y'all, please listen carefully. Lord, protect me, please. Christianity is simply that, preoccupation with the means. We worship the life of Jesus. We worship the miracles of Jesus. We preach them for years. Jesus told the disciples, do not preach my miracles. When you go, Matthew chapter 10, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven has arrived, he says. We preach how he died. We describe the nails, the seven last words, deep stuff. Missed the point. He put pictures all over the wall of all of his acts. And people who take communion full of sin. You know them. You know them. Drinking, cussing on Monday. You know them. Once they go through the rich rituals, they feel okay. Please hear me. Listen, if I came to do something, please listen to me. If I came to do something, I don't leave until I finish it. So as long as I present, it ain't finished. I'm trying. So, as long as I'm on earth, as king, I ain't finished yet. If they kill me, you thought I'm gone. I come back. That means I ain't finished yet. Even the resurrection was not his final act. I'm coming home now, coming home. Because he came back. Excuse me, I'm just thinking whether I should say this because I will be stoned. Good, pick up your rocks. Fine. Okay, I'll say it. The Bible never teaches the second coming of Christ. Matter of fact, why don't you find it for me and show it to me in the Bible? Daddy, I love you. You're 83 years old. This is your son preaching now. You're talking about plenty of things. Try find it for me. We use terms that don't exist in the Bible. Now, here's the reason why I'm saying that. He has already come the second time. There will be a third coming. Now, why is this important? Here's why it's important. Because Christianity, Pastor Richard, help me here. Christianity has introduced this idea of the second coming, and that's why you still don't believe that the kingdom is here yet. It is that doctrine that keeps the kingdom out of your life. You all stay with me now. See, if you believe it coming, then you don't expect to live in it on Monday and Tuesday. You put it out in the future. In other words, you can never appropriate what you postpone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So let's read what Jesus says. He rose again to deliver the governor back to you. That was his last act. Calvary was not his last act. That was not the greatest act. The resurrection was not the greatest act. Can you believe that? I know you're looking at me funny, but if it was, he would have left. He came back to do something else. You can never tell when someone is finished. They leave. Some of you are getting this. You're feeling annoyed. No, God. His resurrection was to re-establish. Re-establish. What? The kingdom of heaven on earth. Through the governor. I'll say some hard things. Let's read the Bible. John chapter 3 verse 3. Read. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit to him without limit. That means he was nowhere else. He was only in Jesus. Look at that verse. I didn't get some of the Holy Ghost, he said. I had the whole governor inside of me. Look at the next verse. John 6:63. Read. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they give you life. Now look at the two spirits here. One is capital S. And one is small s. The small s means the Holy Ghost is what gives a human being reconnection to God. And when he teaches you his word, it feeds your spirit. It's spirit food. Look at John 7, verse 38. Read. Come on, read. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water shall flow out of him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, it says, the Spirit, capital S, had not yet been given to them, since Jesus Christ had not yet died. Are you getting the picture? He said, look, I'm with you guys, but you can't get in there because you're dirty. Clapboard. I go into the cross to get the cleaning agency to clean this thing up.
Yes, sir.
The blood gonna clean you up. I ain't cleaning you to keep you empty. Hallelujah. I'm washing you so that the resident that was kicked out of the government's house could come back home where he belongs. Huh. Everybody said, return to the governor. John 14, verse 16, read out loud. And I will ask the government, and he will give you another counselor to be with you. How long? Forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as abandoned colonies. I will come to you. How? Not personally myself. I'm going to send my governor. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me again. Why? I'm leaving, the king leaving, but the governor coming right back. Yeah. Everybody seen the picture? Watch this. John 20, verse 19. Read. On the evening, this is the one you've been thinking about right here. This is the big day. This is resurrection day. All right. Everybody say, he died. Everybody say, he's dead. Okay. This is after he's dead. Okay. The the detergent is ready. Why? He died. It says, on the evening, out loud, on the evening of the first day of the week. That's where Sunday comes from. Sabbath, Saturday is the last day. He rose on the first day, which was Sunday. Okay. On the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, read, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, stood before them, and said, be cool. Everybody calm down. Peace be with you. Read. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's enough to rejoice over. You figure, okay, he finished now. He back. He said, no. That's why I'm back. Because I ain't finished. Don't rejoice over my death nor my resurrection. That's not the ultimate joy. Don't let that get you excited. Look at the next verse. And again, Jesus said. Again means, peace guys, calm down. The resurrection ain't exciting. That ain't the exciting part. Here's the exciting part. He says, peace be with you. Calm down, he says. As the Father sent me. Ooh. I am sending you the same way the government sent me into the world. And with that, he picked up Genesis chapter 2 again. That's the purpose for the resurrection. He breathed on them. And then he uses a word he never used before. Receive. You used to have him. You kicked him out. You received him in Genesis chapter 2. Now receive him. He said, now you got the power to forgive sins. If the governor say the person is clean, tell them. If the governor say they're forgiven, you tell them. No matter what they did, you saw that list of people up here, hatred, prostitution, lies. He said, you tell each one, break every chain, tell them you are clean. I don't care if you are living in the muck. He says, the governor says they are forgiven. You go tell them you are clean. Satan has no right to hold you back anymore. He said, you tell everybody they are free by the governor's power. Let me close with the scripture. Acts. Everybody say, after the resurrection. Watch this now. He's talking. After his suffering. Acts 1:3. After his what? Suffering. That means after his, that means after Friday gone. It is now Sunday. So he's talking on Sunday. After suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days after the resurrection and spoke to them about what? Same message. And then he said to them, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them. By the way, he was eating with them. I said he was eating with them. I said he was eating with them. Yes. The resurrection body, you can eat. You all better smile. Some of you all figure you all eat. No, no, you can be able to eat. You're coming back in this body, a redeemed body. You get to eat fried fish. Have mercy, Lord Jesus, Brother Carl. Fried fish. Bless God. Mm. And it can taste better because ain't no sin to mess it up. He ate with them. And watch what he says now. He says, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift my Father promised you. What's the promise of the Father? The Spirit. Because John, he gave you all water. But me, the king, I came to give you all the governor. First Corinthians, read. Do you not know? Come on, tell your neighbor. Do you not know that your body is the governor's mansion? Today is the 8th of April, 2007. For heaven's sake, stop dirtying up his house from this day forward. Read. Do you, come on, read. I can't hear you. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. He paid for you. You were bought with the price of the blood. Therefore, Lord have mercy. That means you can't sleep with the woman no more who ain't your wife. Don't take his body to that man. You know he married. Leave him alone. Stop puffing and smoking, putting dust and dirt in the man's body. That ain't your body no more. Shut the pornography off. You're contaminating his mind. Shut down the dirty stories. Don't go back to the club where the niggas are. Sorry, the sissies are. You all know exactly what I mean. Edit that out, Brother Al. Edit that one out for international consumption. This body is not your body. We get this idea. We can do what we feel like with our bodies. He paid for this. This is property. He tell you to keep it clean, pure, holy. Let me tell you something. When you're on your back in the wrong house, the governor is on his back. When you crank up that pornography movie, the governor is watching the movie. How dare you? Stop. He went to hell for you, shed his blood for you. You're supposed to be dead. He took your death, rose again, cleansed you up. Clean you out,
yes.
And gave you God again. Stop disappointing him. Now, it's quiet. Your body is what? The temple. Read, please, read. You ain't never seen this one before. Read, out loud, read. 1 Corinthians 6:13. For food is for the stomach, and the stomach was made for food. True. But God will destroy both of them. But the body is not made for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. It was made for who? The Lord. It was made for who? The Lord. And the Lord was made for the body.
Amen.
That ain't your house. That's a government's house. And that's why we cast our demons. The house was never made for a demon.